Amen.
You know, as we live this life, I think we would all agree that this life at times is very difficult, if not most of the time. That this life just seems to want to beat on us and punch us and knock us down and make us want to quit. And it seems like every time you go a new turn, something new is hitting you. And it's just making life tough and difficult. And I'm sure if you look at your life, there are times where you just feel like quitting. Just feel like giving up. Just feel like saying, you know what, enough is enough, and I've had enough, and that's it. And everybody has an answer for us. You know, every time you turn around, it seems like everybody new is telling us the answer to life's struggles, the answer to the power we need to live life. New Agers tell us that, you know, if we look enough inside of us, we'll find it, because ultimately that each one of us is a God. So all we got to do is look to ourselves and we'll find strength that, you know, we never imagined. Some will tell us the way to deal with life is getting all drugged up so we're comatose. You know, you see some people going through life and they have so many difficulties, so many problems. People just want to hand them drugs and they're just walking around comatose. They're not really dealing with life. They haven't learned to overcome. They haven't learned to be strong. They're just all drugged out. Some people say, you know, just start drinking. You know, a bottle of beer is the answer to all our problems. The only problem with that is when the drunkenness wears off, now you still have your problems and you still have your headache. There is only one answer to overcoming in this life. There's only one answer to be strong enough to live this life. And it's a secret. But I'm going to tell you the secret this morning, so that's no longer a secret. I want to give you four things this morning. Number one, rejoice because in Christ you're not alone. Rejoice because in Christ you are not alone. Why don't you notice verse 10? I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Paul's saying, I rejoice. Word means to be glad or to be delighted. He says, I'm excited. You now have an opportunity to again show that you care and you love me and you're concerned about my life. Paul is probably talking about an offering that they had sent to Paul to help him out in his ministry. Paul says, look, I'm so excited. And the thing that made him excited was not necessarily that he needed the money. The thing that made him excited is that he realized that he was not alone and that there were other people who cared about him and who were involved in his life, but they didn't always have the opportunity to let Paul know that. The other day, I went to the funeral of my cousin Will, and while I was there, I had an aunt come up to me. She's actually my mother's aunt, my Aunt Mill, and she came up to me, and I haven't seen her in 10, 15 years. And she came up to me, and she said, you know what, I don't always get to see you, but I'm praying for you. And I thought, here's someone I haven't seen in years, a relative, and she's praying for me. Do you know what Satan wants you to believe? Satan wants you to believe that you're all alone. That you're living this life and you're fighting your struggles and you're fighting your battles and you're all by yourself. Satan wants you to believe that because he wants you to quit. He wants you to give up. And I want to tell you this morning, don't believe his lies. Don't believe his lies. If you are a Christian, you got people who care about you, who are concerned about your life, who are praying for you, who are thinking about you, but they don't always have the opportunity to show it. That's what Paul's talking about here. He's saying, I'm so glad now you have the opportunity to show that you care and you love me and you're involved in my ministry, and you get out there and you're living your life, and so often Satan wants you to believe that lie because he knows if he can get you thinking you're all alone, you're going to think the struggle is too big, the struggle is too great, and you're going to quit. And I want you to know this morning, it's a lie. It's a lie. You're not alone. There are people praying for you. There are people who care about you. There are people who think about you. They don't always get the opportunity to show it, but they care. Just like in the life of Paul. So rejoice. Rejoice like Paul did. And rejoice every opportunity or every time someone gets the opportunity to let you know that they care. To let you know that you're not alone. Because someone has gone out of the way to do something in your life to show that they care. Don't always get that opportunity, but it's meaningful, it's real. And it is a reminder from God that you are not alone. And that there are other Christians who care about you. Secret of contentment. And I believe part of what Paul is saying here is that as Christians, we have a family. We have people who care about us. And even when we mess up, and even when we make mistakes, and even when we do stupid things, and even when we give in to sin, we have a family who cares about us, who are going to come alongside, put their arm around us, lift us up, gather together, and help us through the worst and most difficult of times. You know, it is hard for me to imagine. I have been a Christian many, many years. I became a Christian when I was in my teens, and I'm now 49 years old. I hit the big 5-0 this year. So that's a long time to be a Christian. And the longer that I'm a Christian, the more I realize that I'm not alone. The more I realize that people care about me, people are praying for me, people are thinking about me, and people I don't even know about. In fact, when I was a baby, I know some of you think I still am, because I still have that baby look. When I was a baby, I was down, they sent me to the hospital in Philadelphia because I was just about dead. And while I was there, my family was not Christians at the time, but there were some in the family that were. They sent out a prayer chain all across America to churches all over the place, and they began praying. And I believe the reason I'm standing here today is because Christians prayed, and God answered. And probably many Christians I'll never even know, never even see until I stand next to them in heaven. You're not alone. Don't believe that lie. Number two. Recognize that contentment is a learned skill. Recognize that contentment is a learned skill. Why don't you notice verse 11? I am not saying this because I am in need. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. So they send this offering to Paul, and Paul's writing them back and saying, you know, I'm excited that you gave me this money, but I want you to know I'm rejoicing not because I'm in need. I'm rejoicing, I'm glad, I'm excited, but not because I'm kind of here starving. In fact, he says, you know what, I've learned a skill. That skill is contentment. He had learned to be content whatever the circumstances were around him. As we go through life, God sends all kinds of faith-testing events in our life. Some of them are financial. Maybe you're going through that right now. You know, you're looking at your bills and you're just wondering how you're ever going to pay them. Some of them are emotional. You're just dealing with life and, you know, you're just struggling. Some of them are spiritual. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's a temptation. Maybe something's happened or someone's done something against you. And, you know, it's just a real reality of life. I want you to know to learn to be content in any and every situation is not something you're born with. It's not something that comes in your life by accident. It's not something you're kind of walking around in life and all of a sudden you plop in the hole and there it is, contentment. Paul said, I learned it. He learned it through practice and experience. He had come to realize in his life how he can be content no matter what came his way. Let me explain contentment. I like to try to simplify things and make them easy to understand. The word contentment literally means to be enough for. Paul says, I've learned to be enough for, to be sufficient for anything that comes my way. It's a Stoic word used in Stoicism. And they kind of believe that in themselves they can manage everything that happened in their life. Remember the train? Maybe when you were younger, you were told this. You know, the train's going up the hill. And you start saying, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Oh, I'm over the hill. It's not what he's talking about. He's saying, I've learned this thing, this skill, that every time something comes my way, I am enough to face it. I am sufficient to face these things that come in my life. You know, we try to live life in our own strength. And every so often, I will be sitting in counseling, sitting talking to someone, and they will be dealing with a very difficult life experience. Wondering how they're going to get through the day. And they will say this, I can't do it. Can't do this. I just can't do this. I want you to know this morning that every time someone says that to me, they're right. They are right. Christian life is not about learning how to do this. Christian life is not about building up strength and kind of saying, think I can, I think I can, I think I can. That is not the Christian life. Christian life is about learning how to not try to do it. How to not look to find some kind of strength in our life to do it. Christian life is learning how to find strength in Jesus Christ. Christian life is learning how to draw on God's strength to live life and to face every situation that comes your way. Whether it be emotional or spiritual, and sometimes even physical. I've been sick this past week, and I don't know what it was. I don't think I'm contagious. Don't worry. I'm not going to give you anything. But I will not be at the back door just in case. But a part of being sick was I was just really weak. Yeah, so weak, I was just shaking. And as I was laying on the couch, you know, I was thinking about this message. I'm there shaking like crazy, and I'm thinking, man, I got to get up this Sunday and preach about being content for every situation, about finding strength in Jesus Christ. How do you do that? It is learning that the strength is not found in ourselves. I want you to hold your finger here in Philippians, because we're coming right back. But turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. To keep me from being conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Now, we don't know what the thorn was. And, you know, everybody speculates about what it was, but we really just don't know. We know that there was something in Paul's life that was just kind of beating on him. Paul says that it was given to him to keep him from being conceited. He says that it was a messenger of Satan to torment him. Notice verse 8. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul says he had to learn that. He had to learn that as he went through life, as he faced struggles, he had to learn to quit trying to figure out in some way he can be strong enough for what's coming in his way. And he had to learn to look to Jesus Christ for strength. He had to learn that even when he was weak, because of all that was going on around him, because of this thorn, that in Jesus Christ, he could be strong. You know, it's not about going to the gym and lifting weights. It's not about going to the track and kind of jogging around Lake Scranton and getting stronger. It's learning to turn to Jesus Christ and draw on his strength when we face difficult times. Paul learned that. I have learned the secret of contentment. So notice thirdly, believe that contentment is possible in all circumstances. Believe that contentment is possible in all circumstances. Notice verse 12. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul had learned in his life, in his relationship with Christ, his relationship with God, he had learned to come to a place in his life where he had learned that secret. It's a word that is used of the religions of the day about, you know, kind of a secret knowledge that some knew but nobody else knew. Paul is saying it really isn't a secret, but here's what I learned. It's learning how to be strong enough. It's learning how to be content no matter what comes your way. Now, I just read 2 Corinthians 12. Sometimes that might mean that it is while you are laying down and you just physically can't even stand. And it's learning how to draw on the strength of Jesus Christ. He gives us two examples. He says, whether I find myself in need, in want, means to be hungry, to be in low status, to be poor. When I find myself humbled in a low place, when I find myself in need and hunger and want, and even when I find myself, notice, in plenty. Plenty means to be well fed. Kind of rubbing elbows with the rich. Certainly when Paul, before he had become a Christian, Paul might have been in those circumstances. He was a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. In those days, if you were a Pharisee, you were an in guy. I mean, everybody looked to you. You were kind of one of the guys. So he may be talking about his pre-Christian life. Certainly when he became a Christian, he was usually in want because people were trying to kill him. People were trying to hurt him because of his relationship to Jesus Christ. So he takes these extremes, whether I am hungry and in need or whether I have plenteous and I'm rich. Whether I find myself down here or I find myself up here and anywhere in between. He says, I'm strong enough for all the circumstances that come my way. Did not matter where he found himself. He learned to be able to deal with it. He learned that he could be enough for it. He learned that he could handle it. He learned whether it was a marital problem, whether it was a parent-child problem, whether it was a work problem, whether it was a church problem, whether it was a neighborhood problem. He learned wherever he found himself, he learned that he was ready for it. And we think sometimes that when we go through life, that we're the only one who's gone through what we're going through. You know, nobody's gone through what I'm going through. I know that you can be enough for it if you've got that, but you don't know what I'm going through, and what I'm going through, forget it. Nobody could deal with this. Paul says it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what the circumstance it is. You can take both extremes or anywhere in between. Doesn't matter what they are. He says, I want you to know, you can be enough for anything that comes your way. You can be sufficient for anything that comes your way. I did go to the funeral this past week. Wasn't there long, but I was there for a little while. My family is dealing with a cousin who died last Sunday morning. In fact, right as I was getting up to speak last Sunday morning, we got word that he had passed away. His father's in the hospital, and he's not sure where he's going to make it. He doesn't even know his son has died. So can you imagine, you are the wife and mother, and you are at a funeral where you're burying your son. Your husband is in the hospital, possibly dying. And you say to yourself, how am I ever going to get through that? Paul says there's a way of getting through it. There's a way in which if you learn it, if you come to realize it, that you can be strong enough. And I want you to know what he's saying here is unique to Christianity. As I said, this world thinks they have the answer, but I want you to know Christianity can make a difference in your life, and a relationship with Jesus Christ can do something that nothing else can do. And that is why when we get to verse 13, Paul says, hey, look, here's the answer. Notice fourthly this morning, look to Christ for strength. Verse 13. Here's what Paul learned. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Paul says, look, the thing that I learned that is making me sufficient for whatever comes my way is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is turning to God. And you might say to yourself, look, I've lived life, I've gone through some difficulties, and I have learned that I'm a pretty strong person, and I don't need God. Well, there may be something that's going to happen in your life that you just haven't had to deal with yet. And I want you to know, during those kinds of times in life, a lot of people want to run from everything and want to quit. Paul said he learned to trust in God. Paul said he learned to turn to Christ for help. He says, my strength is in Jesus Christ. The word strength means power. Power for living is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's saying, I've learned that in everything, through him, he gives me strength. The word everything can be translated all. I can do all. I can do everything. He doesn't say I can do some things. He doesn't say I can do difficult things. He doesn't say I can do most things. He says I can do everything. Because Jesus Christ gives me the power, and I have learned in life to rely on him. Can do. There's a commercial about that, isn't there? The can do spirit. It's found in Jesus Christ. Strength is found in him. It is something that you need to learn in life. Colossians chapter 1, it says this. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor. Now listen. Struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Paul says, look, I'm doing ministry and I'm doing what God wants me to do because he's energizing me. Paul's like the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps going and going and going. In fact, if you read 2 Corinthians 11 and begin to look at all the things that happened in Paul's life, you would say, man, I don't ever want to be like Paul. But he's the guy that said, I can do everything through Christ. He gives me the strength. He prayed that the Ephesians would understand this great power in Ephesians chapter 1. He prayed that in Ephesians chapter 3 that they would be strengthened with this power. He told them that in Jesus Christ there is strong power in Ephesians 6. And then in Colossians 2, he says, we need all this power. And then in Philippians chapter 4, he says, I've learned to get that power. So what do we learn? I want you to know in Jesus Christ, you can learn to handle everything. I want you to know that I have learned what Paul has learned. But I want you to know I'm still learning. I'm still learning how to draw on God and draw on God's strength and look to Christ for help and to trust in Christ to get me through life. 2 Peter chapter 1 says that this power really is the basis for living the Christian life. His divine power has given us everything we need for life. And godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. He says, look, at salvation, we begin to learn this power, and it is this power that we gain at salvation is the power Paul is talking about. And as you live your Christian life, as you learn to draw on that power, you'll learn that the power for living is found in Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about some kind of mystical, weird thing. Talking about learning to trust in Jesus Christ. The answer to life is not found by somehow looking in yourself. It's not found, Solomon said, of making many books. It just wearies the body. You know, there's all kinds of books that just keep being written to tell people how to live life. I want you to know it's been found in this book, and this book has been around, and it continues to be around. You don't need to look any further than this book. If you want to learn to have the strength to face every circumstance that comes your way, I want you to know it's found in Jesus Christ and your relationship with Him. And if you haven't learned it yet, I want you to know it's there. You just got to learn it. Let's pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you may be here this morning and say, hey, Tom, I'm going through struggles right now and I need that strength. I need that help. Would you pray for me? If you're going through those kinds of struggles and you just want me to pray for you, I won't mention you by name, but you want prayer this morning, just raise your hand. God knows it. God sees your hand. Just raise it up. Put it back down. Say, God, I need your strength. And I'm just going to give you a moment of silence. Everyone who just raised your hand, I want you to just pray right now between you and God. Say, God, I need your help. God, I need your strength. Help me to learn to draw on you. Help me to learn to trust you. Between you and God. Father God, I'm so thankful this morning that we don't have to go it alone, but you're there to help. I thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much. You sent Jesus to die on the cross, that we can have a relationship with you. And Father, I pray this morning for everyone who has raised their hand. And I pray, Lord, that you would work in their heart, work in their spirit, their soul. Help them, Father, to learn how to be strong enough for all situations. Help them, Father, to believe, to trust you. That even if this world is falling apart, that they can find strength in you. So, Father, we pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.